Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works and why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Yeah, but that's just the way that it happens to be. And I think at the end of the day, I'm honestly getting the feeling that when I say something to someone, they just ignore me.
So shall we start then? Yes, let's start. I think we've already started.
Oh.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Whatever Works, your favourite podcast in the whole universe, in the whole annals of history and the extent of the universe and time and space.
Now. And it's... calm down, Ted.
This is show 220, and it's Monday the 20th of January. Monday the 20th of January is 15 days after the 5th of January and 10 days after the 10th of January. The reason I say that is going to become apparent in a second. But first, whateverworks.works is our website where you'll find all the gumph you need to know if you can be bothered to look. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and links to the MeWe groups and all the other audio podcasts we do. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, and that's about it for now. The reason I said that the 10th was 10 days ago and the 5th was 15 days ago is because you wouldn't believe the difference in the climate here. I've included a photograph for you there in the recording notes, and also I posted it in the MeWe group of the place completely covered in snow. And you wouldn't believe that was only 10 days ago and 15 days ago. It's just so radically swoop in, swoop out. But it was really lots of snow and lots of ice and treacherous pavements and really nice and cold. I mean, I like it like that, but I know most people don't.
Nice and cold, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any snow in the last 15 days?
We certainly didn't have anything to the extent that you did in Wales, Ted. We actually had literally one, it wasn't even a day, we had one period of some hours of snow. I happened to have taken my mother to London to see a show on that day, so she had the experience, which I think was quite an adventure for her, of driving home with the snow pelting down and the road getting whiter and whiter and me driving more and more slowly. And we finally got home, and I too have put a picture in our show notes, which I'll put onto the web so people can see. I ran outside and took a photograph of our tree outside, looking absolutely gorgeous and Christmassy in the new fallen snow. And good that I did, because when we got up the next morning, it had all gone. The snow had turned to rain overnight and it was gone by morning. So we really had that sort of magical, mystical, fleeting, beautiful snow moment that was gone in a whisper, whereas you seem to have lived with it for some days.
No, well, it came twice. It came quite heavily and laid around, and then that lasted a few days, and then it went away again, and then it came back for another couple of days, and then again went away.
But you're absolutely right, Ted. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, you make the point. The weather changes on a sixpence. I have a friend, I never forget, a few years ago, a friend of mine who lives in Switzerland said that one day they had cold and snow and minus weather, and the next day it was 30 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bizarre, bonkers the way the weather works these days. Welcome to global warming, everybody.
Yeah, global warming, room 101. That Christmas tree incident you should have in still using pretty soon, shouldn't you?
That Christmas tree is a real tree. I did plant it with my own fair hand within our lawn, and I'm hoping it'll still be there.
Oh, another new one?
Another new one. I'm not sure if I talked about the old one that died. It up and died, and I had to replace it this year. And I've done this one with real love and care and advice from the garden centre so that it doesn't just keel over like last year's one did. And hopefully it'll still be there next year and we'll decorate it again.
Very, very nice indeed. And it does look very Christmassy, and the lights are done really nicely, and that star on the top, you've done a good job there. As usual with you, you don't do... And there's even presents underneath, isn't there?
There are. Yes, I got them from our favourite store for about 10 quid. Three box presents with little LEDs that come on and go off with the night, dusk and dawn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, great fun.
That is so cool.
Oh, excuse the snuffling.
Oh dear, you're still not very well.
Yes, I must apologise to our dear listeners for the delay in our... I thought that's what you were actually hinting at the beginning when you were talking about the 5 and 10 day difference. I thought you were hinting at the fact that we're coming to everyone.
I wouldn't highlight your shortcomings.
We're a week late, folks, and I do apologise. Do you know what? I was thinking about this today, and I was almost thinking of putting my cold into Better Before. I'll tell you for why. Do you remember in the old days when you had a cold, and you were in bed with a thermometer in your gob and your wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend or family member making you a cup of tea and asking you if you were all right and could they get you your slippers? And you really were sick. Nowadays, we just sort of plod on with nasty man flu and feel like crap and don't want to do anything, but just kind of work through it. And that's what I've been doing for the last week and a half. I got that sort of semi-flu, man-flu, cold bug that's not quite bad enough to warrant going to the doctor, but just means you live off Lemsip and Night Nurse for a couple of weeks and feel like crap. And I'm finally out at the other side of it. But I think it was better before. I think I preferred it when you just got really ill for 3 or 4 days and then got better.
It's looking up now, is it?
It is, thank you. Yes, I think yesterday was a real turnaround day.
Sorry, go on.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if other people have experienced this. You have these days when you wake up thinking, "Hey, I'm better, my cold's gone." And then after a couple of hours, you think, oh, bugger, no, it's still there.
Yeah,
I had a couple of those days, but then I think yesterday really was the finally seeing the back of it day. Your turn.
Ah, very good. No, I was just going to say that, it may be it was to do with being poisoned by Brazil nuts.
Oh, a slinky link there, Ted. You're on form today. Yes.
Thank you.
I think this was my own feedback to my own item, wasn't it? In lieu of anyone else, I fed back on my own item about Brazil nuts. I found a piece on the web. You may remember that I was a bit concerned because I discovered chocolate-covered Brazil nuts in Tesco, which I thought, these are the yummiest things since chocolate-covered coffee beans, and I'm going to eat dozens of them. Until I read the following on the web. If I got this from eatingwell.com, for those who care. Just one Brazil nut offers 175% of the recommended daily selenium intake. The main potential risk of eating regular Brazil nuts is overconsuming selenium. Known as selenosis, selenium toxicity is a rare but possible condition from consuming too much of the mineral. Side effects can include brittle nails and hair, skin rash, nausea, diarrhea, fatigue, and in severe cases, breathing problems and kidney failure. The tolerable upper limit, here's the weird part, that is considered safe for selenium is 400 micrograms, which is approximately 3 Brazil nuts.
Wow.
It's best to limit your intake at most to 3 Brazil nuts per day to avoid any negative symptoms. And there was me scoffing 10 or 12 or 15 in a row. I'm definitely taking care.
But that reads as though it might well not happen to everyone.
I think it's very much one of those Edwina Curry egg things. You know, orange juice is good for you. No, it's bad for you. Yogurt should be eaten. No, it shouldn't. Yeah. Wine is good. Wine is bad. Yeah, I agree. But I think one should still take care. I don't think I'm going to sit and consume half a packet of Brazil nuts anymore like I used to. I will limit myself to, you know, 3 or 4 perhaps, and then not the following day.
Yeah, 4. Give them the V's up. I'm not having 3. I'm having 4.
Shame, though, because they're bloody gorgeous, I must say.
The thing that jumped out at me in that little spiel was brittle hair. How do you have brittle hair? I get the brittle nails thing, but brittle hair?
Did I misread? Brittle nails and hair.
Yeah. That's what they said.
Maybe Ken Dodd has eaten too many Brazil nuts. I don't know.
Anyway, interesting feedback, because I'm sure that no one listening to this would have known any of that, you know, and so it's nice to be aware of these things, isn't it?
Indeed.
I knew you were going to say that. Mel Greenberg is our latest fan from America. Hi, Ted, she says. Being a regular listener of PSC, Tech Addicts, Whatever Works, and now the Projector Room podcast, I thought I'd say hello. Hello. I kind of favour reading and working around the house yard over getting very involved in social networking, but I do enjoy your podcast and you in particular, i.e. not that waste of space, Aidan. You seem like a very real and decent fellow, as do your colleagues, except that towrag Aidan, apparently. She didn't say that, that's me. I live in Lake Oswego. I'm sorry if I've crucified that, in Oregon, USA. Weather is probably a bit like yours. I enjoy being as up-to-date with technology as I'm able and am keeping an eye on AI, I'm currently retired, but working in the information technology industry most of my working life. Thank you for all you do to keep me and others entertained and informed. Thank you, Mel. It's great to hear bits of feedback like that, particularly from interestingly different countries, as well as the UK. You know, our podcast is getting out there and people are hearing it and people seem to like us, Aidan.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Mel, even if you do prefer Ted. it says, Mel's keeping an eye on AI. I thought, yes, Ted's keeping an eye on Aidan. So, you know, we all have our work cut out.
Right then, what's next?
What's next? I wanted to just very quickly feedback. Do you remember, was it one show or a couple of shows ago, I think now, I brought these funny popper things that you put on the inside of duvet covers. You iron to the duvet itself and one to the inside of the cover. And so when you put the duvet into the cover, you pop them together and they hold the duvet inside the cover. Well, I'm pleased to report that, first of all, they work beautifully and I've got no more ADAC scrunkled duvet under my chin when I sleep at night, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. And B, they've survived a wash and gone back on perfectly, so I'm very pleased with them. I'm afraid I haven't done my homework and rewritten down what they were called to be able to tell you again, but I'm sure you can take care of that in the show notes for me. Thank you, Ted. Mm-hmm. That's why Mel likes you better, because you work harder than I do. no, they worked. The iron-on duvet clip popper things, the name of which I can't currently remember, were very successful and I recommend them.
Excellent. Well done indeed.
I also apologise profusely. I've got the snuffles. I have got over my cold and I feel fit as a fiddle, but unfortunately there's some residual nastiness in the back of my nose, which I'll do my best to leave there for the duration
of the recording.
For goodness
sake, blow your nose.
Right. I bring you yet again, and I remind you of the Yoshiko Digital Wireless Indoor-Outdoor Weather Thermometer, £23.99. We've had these on the show at least once. I think even two or three times we've talked about these. I remember you bought one as a consequence of our discussing them.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give a quick shout out because one of them took a tumble the other day and stopped working, which is not to blame it at all. It fell from quite a height and then just produced gibberish, so I replaced it, which actually means that now we have three in the house, but we actually have four of the outside sensors. So we've got an extra sensor now because, of course, you get the thermometer and this outside sensor. And I just wanted to give them another quick shout out because it arrived from our favourite shop and it's doing its job as ever. It gives you the inside temperature and the outside temperature. And if you care, and I don't, so I've got to pick it up and look, it also gives you the minimum and maximum of the inside and outside temperatures if you're interested. And it's just a nice, neat little device. It does what it does and it doesn't do anything else, and it seems to do it fairly well, and I like it. So lovely thermometer if anyone wants one.
I bought this in 2018.
Yes, of course, it was you first, Ted.
And no. What I was going to say was that I brought this to still using it. I don't know when, while back. If you might remember that I'd lost the thing for outside, and
the sensor,
I tried to contact them to try and find another one, but you know,
that's right. 20, I remember.
For £23, they're no doubt going to say, well, we'll give you another one, but it'll cost you £23. You might as well just buy a new one altogether. The disposable society we live in.
Exactly.
But it's really good. I totally agree. And it sits there working perfectly well. It just doesn't give me the outside stuff. And the minimum and maximum temperature I do use. It's quite useful data to look at that, to see how cold it's been and how hot it's been in any given day or 24-hour period, actually, because it does it on the fly. I agree. It's a good little unit.
Ear, despite your constant rudeness to me, are you still short of an outside sensor?
Yeah, I haven't got one.
Well, then you shall receive one in the post, because as I just said, I've now got four and I only need three.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even need three. It's just nice to have them replaced around the house so that if it loses one, it finds another. But hey, I'll put it in the post to you later.
I love you and I want to have your babies.
Well, provided you're nice to me for the rest of the show, I may let you have my babies. But let's see how we get on for the next 45 minutes.
Fair enough.
Right, time for a jingle.
I wonder who bought it.
I wonder who bought the... You know me banging on about the Ninja stuff, which is so good. Ninja kitchenware. I've got this Ninja soup maker, which I keep banging on about. But it's just so good. And someone bought the Ninja air fryer. We were talking about on the last show about the Ninja air fryer. Or, sorry, air fryers.
Yes, indeed.
Somebody's bought one, and it cost 69. I don't know. Is it still 69 quid? Let's have a look. Today's pricing. It was reduced. Oh, there's none available. That's really unhelpful. Thank you, Amazon. You can't buy them anymore. Shall we ditch this item?
No. You know, I feel responsible for this because I started this whole air fryer thing a few shows ago, and I seem to have started a boom. So, no, I mean, if I'm sure, you know, other air fryers are available, although, of course, it's the Ninja you wanted to wax lyrical about.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure you can get it somewhere else anyway, but I'll try and find a link and put it in the show notes. This was a 3.8-litre version, uses no oil, air fryer, usual stuff for an air fryer, and it was reduced from 99 quid to 69 quid. Well, obviously they've sold out, and everyone bought one at 69
yes.
quid. But I'd really like to hear from whoever bought this, if they are willing to come forward and say if it's as good as I find the soup maker and my colleague across the way finds another Ninja cooking device they got. This Ninja name just seems to be really, really good. So thank you, whoever it is who bought that. I did get some pennies for that, and I thank you for that. And it all counts. It all comes in and helps me out. So if you want to do that as well, you can do that. So when you go shopping, this is how it works. When you go shopping in Amazon, don't just go to Amazon. Go via my link, which is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. And then you just shop as normal. Makes no difference to you at all, except that it hooks up with my Amazon account. And then whatever you buy from there on in, they give me a few pennies for having kind of basically referred you. It's an affiliate system, and it works really well. It's not a huge amount of money. For example, that £69 Ninja air fryer, I got 58p for that. But, you know, it sounds like peanuts.
Every little helps.
Every little helps, absolutely. And if enough people do this, then it does make a difference. So thank you for those who do, and thank you for those that are going to from now on.
Yes, if 100 people buy an air fryer, you're 50 quid up, Ted.
Still using.
Okay, what are you still using this week, Mr. Hammond? Hammond? Mr. Hammer.
Mr. Hammer. Mr. Hammerite.
Mr.
The
Hammer.
Thing that I'm using this time is my Hammerite Smooth Paint, which you remember on Whatever Works 200, our celebratory show in January 24, a year ago, I had some rust on a radiator, and I thought, what can I do? How can I get rid of this rust without stripping it down and sanding it down?
I remember it well.
And putting primer on and all that crap that we used to do when we had so much time because there was no technology to take all our time up. So I got this Hammerite Smooth stuff, painted it on, no priming, nothing. Exactly a year later, January 25, not a sign of any rust or anything coming through. So I say hurrah, and this £9.35 little pot, although I'm sure you can get it cheaper somewhere else probably, it's done the job, and as good as its word, it deals with the rust underneath the painted stuff on radiators, and presumably on any other metal stuff you do. So, hurrah! Well done, Hammerite.
I say hurrah too. Hurrah! You may remember, some years ago now, I think, I bought some disposable travel urinals into the show. I discovered rather fun, tiny little disposable. It's basically a plastic bag with a strange plastic feature on the top and some gel inside. And if you keep one in the car or you're in your caravan or wherever you might need it, and if you're taken short, you can wee into this thing and it turns to gel instantly, and you can then just dispose of it appropriately at a better time.
Out the window.
I'm saying nothing. I have had cords to use them once or twice, and I have been very, very grateful that I'm in the car, absolutely bursting, stuck in traffic or not able to find a toilet or whatever it is, and you just find somewhere quiet and peaceful and pull over and have a wee in your car, and I'm not ashamed at all to say that it's a very sensible and useful thing to have. Mm-hmm. I actually used one not that long ago, at some point during my Christmas season, I think, of driving around the country as Santa. And I jumped onto our favourite store to replace them, as I only had one left. And I discovered that they do still sell them. They do still sell them. But I discovered Travel John vomit bags, which are basically the same thing, except they're not the urinal, in inverted commas, with this strange plastic feature on the top. It's basically just like a sick bag on an aeroplane, but again it has the gel within it, so it's easier and better for a man's needs than the previous one. And they were a lot cheaper as well. I forget the price in comparison to the disposable urinals, but these Travel John vomit bags are £7.95 for five. Whereas I think the urinals was, if I remember correctly, it was something around 15, 16, 17 quid for three of them. So definitely a lot cheaper. Cheap as piss, you might say. Well worth having if you think you might be taken short at any point and need a quick and convenient wee. There we are.
I wonder why they're selling both, because it's the same company. The first ones, the urinal ones, are £15.50 for six.
Oh, for six, and, okay.
And this is £7.95 for five.
Yeah.
So clearly these ones are much better value, but it's the same company, and yet they seem to be doing...
They are supposed to be a different product. Yeah. I mean, the sick bag is a bag. You open the bag and it's got a wide opening at the top and you can puke into it, whereas the urinal has a much smaller opening surrounded by a firm plastic, which makes... I'm trying to be decent on the show here, which makes it less easy to use, especially in the car, than an open bag.
But it's also for ladies, isn't it? So if you haven't got a winky to hold, you can ladies.
Yeah, it certainly works. I think it's bisexual. It's for both. Yeah. But it's unisexual. So, but for gentlemen, I think it's much easier to use a vomit bag. We're going into greater detail than we need to here. But there you go, folks. You've got the choice: ladies' urinals or men's vomit bags.
One's cheap as chips, and one isn't.
Oh, that's sexist. Cheaper for a man to have a wee than for a woman. What's yours?
Right. Mine is an eco bag, which is, I think I might have done this before, but it's basically black bin liners. Now, you can buy these in Tesco or Sainsbury's or wherever else, but these ones that we found on Amazon are just really, really good. They're not the cheapest. You get 50 bags for £6.99, so you can certainly do it cheaper. But these bags are really strong. The ones that previously I've got from Tesco are kind of thin plastic. They easily tear as soon as you give it any resistance. These ones are really thick plastic and they work really, really well. They're very big because they're designed actually for dustbins and not indoor bags. Mm-hmm. Indoor bins. That's it really. Simple as that. They're called Eco Bag, and I'll put a link in the show notes, and £6.99 for 50, and they're highly recommended. 50 heavy-duty 100-litre bags.
Very good. They're actually £8.99 now, I'm afraid to tell you. Oh, but you're still well within your £10 Judge Barton limit, so excellent.
Mm. Ted's Top Tips. We haven't had a Ted's Top Tip for ages, have we?
Well, that's because you're thick. You've got to be nice to me, Ted. You've got to be nice to me if you want that outdoor sensor.
Right, bide your time with Save for Later. Don't forget, there's a couple of quick ones, really. Don't forget that there's an Amazon trick you can do with Save for Later. So if you want to buy something and you're not bothered about how long you wait for it, then stick it in your basket. And then when you get it into your basket, click on Save for Later. And eventually it will come round, it will get cheaper. It might go up as well, but generally speaking, things get a bit cheaper the longer you leave them in there. And the algorithm, we think, probably teases Amazon to say to them, look, this has been in here for a month, put the price down, and this sucker might buy it then. So it all kind of works. I put a citronella pillar candle in there for about 2 months, and eventually it went from £6.74 to £4.30. Now, part of that could be because it's the time of year, it's a seasonal thing, and people want these citronella candles in the summer when there's flies around. Fair enough, but even so, you know, that's basically saved £2.50 or something on that one little item. Anyway, the tip is save for later. Use save for later and tease Amazon into reducing the price for you.
To use another one of your favourite words, fiendish, Ted.
Indeed, fiendish it is. Co-op loyalty card is next. Don't forget to use it, because actually I've got a co-op quite near to me around the corner here, and the prices of the stuff in there compared to going to Tesco are significantly more. But if you shop carefully, they have these little blue tickets on lots and lots of items around the shop, and if you get this blue ticket, they tend to be 20% to 30% off. You know, they reduce the prices in the same way as a loyalty card does, but you get the price off at the till if you just flash the co-op loyalty card when you're checking out. So it's not vouchers, it's cash off there and then. And watch out for the blue tags, and that actually brings the prices of lots of items in the co-op to below Tesco prices in my neck of the woods. Anyway, John.
I'm going to have to take your word for that. I'm not a co-op man at all. We don't have a co-op close by, and I know nothing of which
common.
You speak.
Oh, really? This is no Waitrose, for goodness sake.
Really, for goodness sake. I'm off to Fortnum & Mason's.
I want one of those.
Well, I suppose if I could afford to go to Fortnum & Mason's, I could afford £25 for a mechanical digital wall clock, but I don't. Ooh. And I won't. I found a video online of this rather fascinating wall clock, which was big. It's about 3 feet by 2 feet in old money, so it's a big old thing. And what it seems to be is lots and lots of clocks, lots of clock hands, no numbers, just clock hands in a circle. And they all spin around a bit like an information board at a railway station. They all sort of spin around with nonsense. And then they will stop in such a way that they're making out numbers. And so what you've actually got is an enormous clock made up by lots and lots of rows of tiny little sets of clock hands. And they spin around and they whiz, whiz, woo, and then they set the time. Now, there is a website. It's called ProLaunch, is where I found it. Couldn't find it anywhere else. And I give ProLaunch 1 out of 10 for terrible promotion, because there's no video on their website, nor is there even a decent explanation of what it is and how it works. No pictures of the back of it, no information about exactly how it works. I believe it calls itself, I forget the name it used, but it doesn't even tell you whether it runs on batteries, or I think it says wine. Mechanical was the word. Yeah, mechanical. So does that mean there's a key that you turn in old, like an old-fashioned clockwork key at the back? It's a terrible website. Doesn't tell you anything about it. But if anybody wanted to take a 25 quid punt, you never know. You might land on your feet and have yourself a rather fun digital wall clock. But as I say, I don't know whether how it works, how it's powered. But there you are. That's all. I can't tell you any more about it, except it looks like a lot of fun, and I wish I had 25 quid to throw away, because I'd be curious to see what it's like.
There's also no details at all about who they are, or where they are, or where it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, if I hadn't seen a video online, I would have suspected this whole thing is a con. But as I say, I stumbled on it through Instagram or somewhere. I just simply couldn't find it again. But I did see a video of this thing working, or apparently so. So it's probably genuine. But again, you might pay your 25 quid and never hear anything from anybody. So there you go. If you want to take a punt, mechanical digital wall clock.
Yeah, it looks very interesting anyway. So good shout indeed, and I would want one of those too. Talking of clocks, my I want one of those is the £200 Nanu Arc alarm clock. And that's basically all it is. It's a clock. It's a bedside clock, basically, or kitchen clock, or wherever you want to put it. It doesn't appear to ship to the UK anyway. It's only America. But it's, in terms of I want one of those, a cool object of desire. But You know, if you click through and have a look at the... in fact, it's gone up now. It's $235. And the black one has sold out. So they seem to be shipping these out in batches. And it feels a bit like a Kickstarter, but I don't think it is. But it just looks lovely. It really, really does. For those who's, you know, money no object and they want a clock by their bedside, it just looks like it's beautifully shaped and it looks like very qualitative components and nice knobby turny dials and buttons, and it just looks lovely. And so I want one of those.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website now and you know, a proper 8 or 9 out of 10 for this website for giving decent information. Although I'm looking at the FAQs and I'm not seeing why the heck is it 200 quid. That's the only thing that baffles me slightly. It does look like a lovely clock and one that would be very enjoyable to own and use. But yeah. I would have expected it to cost sort of 50 quid tops. I'm not quite why. What is it about it that warrants $235?
Well, the same can be said for Apple products and a bunch of other companies that try to elevate their prestige. But you know, if you scroll right down to the bottom, there's other stuff. It appears to be a design house, really. There's a nudge counter, for example, right down the bottom. Which again looks like it's made absolutely beautifully, but there's no price there. But I'm sure it would. It would be, you know, very expensive.
Yes, I guess if you were in America, you'd probably say, oh, Arc. Oh, goodness, yes, they produce the best stuff. Yeah, you know, you can ask your friend Mel, Ted. Why don't you contact Mel and see what she thinks?
What do you think, Mel? I reckon. Oh, I found a price for the nudge counter. It's $99. You know, and frankly, who's going to use a nudge counter apart from someone standing at a... some sort of event, you know, counting people through the door or something. But it just looks like it's beautifully made. Anyway, that's what I Want One of Those is all about, and I want one of those clocks.
I think I do too.
Better before.
Right, well, I've sort of had half a better before earlier with my cold, but now here's another one. And this came up because during the week I had a desire for a particular app for my phone, and I wanted a simple alarm app, a really, really, really simple alarm app. One screen, that's the alarm, set it, thank you. And I posted on PSC, and as ever, the lovely people there were very kind and tried to help me. But despite that help, and despite my spending a very long time auditioning a lot of apps, I couldn't find what I wanted. And the reason I say this is because what I want to put into Better Before, or discuss was perhaps Better Before, is simplicity. Why is everything so complicated now? Yes, technology has moved on tremendously in the last years, and suddenly something that could only perform one function can now perform 700. But that doesn't mean it has to perform 700. Why make something simple when you can add 1,000 bells and whistles? Well, because simple is nice. And I've had this before, and I've come on the show and talked about this before, not just with software, but with physical objects. I can't think offhand of anything, but, you know, things when I was working on my pond in the garden. I've got a pond in the garden, I don't know if you know, and with my car and all my various products, I've wanted to find something that does one simple function, but no, you can't. It does that one simple function as well as 45 others that get in the way. And I just think that there was something nice about the old days when you would buy a clock and all it would do would be tell you the time, and it wouldn't have 45 different alarms. I mean, suddenly springs to my mind thermostats. Do you remember I came on the show complaining that although I love these radiators that I bought a couple of years ago and talked a lot on the show about, I was not getting on with the menus because they weren't just radiators. They were radiators with 45 level deep menus, which did absolutely everything from making you tea to massaging your shoulders, which I didn't need. I like things to be simple. I wish there were versions of things. You could buy the simple version and the multi version. That's all.
Yeah, I do agree. And that takes us back to the Nano Arc alarm clock, really, doesn't it? In that case, it's really, really expensive, but it just does one thing.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, but perhaps, and you know, maybe I've answered my own question. Maybe that's why it's so expensive, because it's not a million feature behemoth for the thing. It just does one function.
Maybe, yeah. And I'm looking on my desk here, my Marshall speaker, my Marshall Acton 3.
Yes.
At the risk of talking about speakers again. You know, again, that's simple. If you want to turn the volume up, you turn a knob on it. If you want to turn the bass up, you turn a knob on it. Treble, same thing. You know, we speak on the show quite often about, you know, the old-fashioned ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think that sometimes you just want to keep things simple and not have stuff. So I am agreeing with your better before. I think it's, sometimes it's nice to just not be bogged down with, you know, 1,001 ways to do things. I quite often pick up one of my Samsung phones and I've got no idea how to use most of the stuff on it, frankly. And I'm, you know, I'm a phone show chat bot, yes, and I should, yes, know these things. But there is definitely a place for simplicity. I agree with you and I give you a tick.
You just want that sensor.
Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
Whatever worked.
Duh. No, show 69 was the next one that you were on and I was on. And actually, Julie Wills was on. I wonder what happened to Julie. I don't hear see her on our groups at all these days. Not heard from her for ages. I hope she's all right. Anyway, our next show that we were both on was this one. It was October 2018. We're working our way through, you see. And I'm going to pick from this show the multi-way power socket, which is also a still using, incidentally, because it's still in use every day here. It's a really neat little cube. It says currently unavailable now, unfortunately. But
currently unavailable. Ah, see what you did there.
I didn't even know it. One of the good things about this thing is, apart from it having a couple of USB-A's for trickle charging, is that the 3-pin plug sockets are intelligently offset from each other. So if you've got stupid, ridiculous, great big plugs with bricks on them, the chances are that you'll find a way of putting it so they don't all bump into each,
yes,
other. Really, really decent. So that's a really nice one. And I'm sure you can get it somewhere else without going to this dead link in Amazon. Thank you, Amazon. And that was my pick.
I remember that, and I remember you talking about, just as you just did, how you can plug in some of our ridiculously non-specific, non-helpful size plugs and still be able to plug in two or three. And I remember at the time thinking, I need one of those. Yeah, good shout indeed, Ted.
And it's got a really, really long cable as well. I think it's got a 10-foot cable or something. So that was really good. And yeah, it is in use all the time here.
Well, now, looking down the list, I couldn't, in all good conscience, go past Sage Barista Express espresso machine. Now, I'm not going to say much because people are probably sick to the back teeth of hearing the pair of us talk about these things. But this was the beginning. Clearly, the 27th of October 2018 was when it all started. And I bought this Sage coffee machine, which I dearly loved and used daily for 2 or 3 years before passing it on to a friend of mine, I seem to recall, when I bought the upgraded Sage Barista, the Oracle, which I'm still using on a daily basis, 2 or 3 times a day, and loving to bits. And they've proven to be very good machines. I mean, I was a classic Aidan Bell snob and decided I wanted to upgrade and passed on that one to you. And you very sensibly said there's nought wrong with this coffee machine, and you've been using it well ever since, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're still using it and there's no problems with it, Ted, yes?
I am, but like you, I'm looking at the Amazon page now. It's £499. Like you, the black one is much nicer.
Yes.
One of the reasons you upgraded was to get a black one, and I do agree with you. The black one is just so cool.
The black one is very sexy. Excuse me. What's interesting is the drawer is also black, and the drawer goes in the dishwasher. And one fault with the machine is that after a few dishwashes, the black paint started to flake away, and it was revealing the silver underneath. But I went through about a year of that, and now the entire tray is silver because all the black paint's come off, and now it looks very classy because I've got a black machine with a silver tray at the bottom, which looks very smart. But I had a year of getting to that point. But no, seriously speaking, folks, marvellous machine. Yes, I did in the end have a problem with mine, and I had to get you may remember I told the story of having a technician come in to repair the new one, but that was done very, very quickly and without any problem and at no expense to me, and it's worked perfectly. So I just put that down to, you know, if you use things, they're going to going to need servicing. That was a service rather than an error. Yeah, great machines, and I would certainly recommend both the Sage Barista Express, what Ted is now using, and the Sage Barista The Oracle, what I am using.
Neither of those two items we just highlighted are whatever worked, because they're whatever works.
Okay, yes, but they
still
Okay, but I mean, we didn't say we didn't say we can only bring something onto the show if it's broken.
Yes, one thing that's broken from that list is the Taoyuan teapot. It was a lovely little teapot, and it's made of glass, and it's really, really thin glass. And inevitably, the first time someone knocks the spout against something, it just shatters.
I was going to say, if you'd told me you'd managed to keep a glass teapot working for 7 years, Ted, I'd have been very impressed.
Yeah, so that's not an whatever work, duh. Oh, yeah, no, that is a whatever work, duh.
Finished?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sure everybody knows Curve. I was probably late to the party in discovering Curve, that being the banking wallet company stroke software stroke app that allows you to amalgamate lots of different credit cards and payment systems into one space, so you don't have to carry
never
a lot
of
cards
of with
you. You've never heard of it? Oh, good. Then it wasn't just me. Well, that's basically what it is. You can register all your credit cards to it and probably your bank accounts as well, and so that all you do is you just use your phone and your Curve details, and that's so you pay everything through Curve, basically. The only reason that I know anything about it is because my payment ring, I had to register with Curve in order for my payment ring to take money from my bank account. It couldn't do it directly from ring to bank account. It had to go via Curve. The ring works with Curve. So in order to use the ring, I had to download and use Curve, which is free and was not a problem for me. And it's fine. It's working extremely well. Every time I make a purchase, I get a text from Curve to tell me that I made a purchase with the ring, which is a great security feature. I also get a text from my bank to say the same, which we'll come to in a moment. And it works fine. The reason I'm putting into Room 101, well, I'm putting one aspect of it into Room 101, because actually I'm very happy with Curve and I've got no problem with it, except that not only do they send me a text each time I make a purchase, but once or twice a week they send me spam texts. They send me a text saying, don't forget you can have this wonderful special offer and you collected enough points to win a wine glass and all this kind of rubbish. I actually emailed them, because I'm so anal, I emailed them and said, is it possible please to switch off all the texts except the important notification text? And of course they came back saying, no, sorry, we can't do that. Thus, I'm now giving serious consideration to cancelling texts completely, which I can do very, very easily in the app. I can just say no texts, please. But then, of course, I'm saying no texts to my confirmation of payment text, which is taking away a level of security. Yes, I receive a text from my bank additionally. So that's why I'm giving thought to saying, OK, sod the text from Curve. I'll just rely on the bank text. But that does still perhaps leave me open to the possibility of some sort of scam or loss of money because I've switched off the information texts from Curve. So the reason they go into 101 is because it's an all or nothing. They won't allow you to only receive the important information texts. If you have those, you have to also get the rubbish spam texts as well. So a black mark for an otherwise very good company.
Yes, I agree with you. They should be able to, if they're operating a service like that, segregate the two. But obviously they want to sell advertising space to whoever it is or whatever. And so, like everyone else out there, they're just trying to find other ways of generating income.
To give them small credit, it does appear to be only themselves that they're advertising. Because, you know, again, they've got all these things. You can claim tickets to cinema if you've spent a certain amount of money and all this rubbish that doesn't interest me. So I think it's all in-house.
Right.
But nevertheless, I'm not interested. I don't want it. Take it away.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Indeed. Right, OK. The other item for Room 101 this time comes from Chris Clayton. Hello, Chris. And he's talking about local transport costs. A trip to town and back on the bus for my partner and I costs £12. With Brighton's parking costs, which is £5.50 for 2 hours, something is very wrong, he says. I just came back from Tokyo, where public transport is seamless, clean, with well-behaved passengers, and costs 50p a trip wherever you are going. So I think this is also a shout out against parking costs as well.
Yeah, and this is a hot topic, and it did indeed generate quite a bit of feedback, including Kurt Kaufman, who says the limited public transport here in the USA is also getting extremely expensive. Often there are so few trains or buses running on a limited schedule that it's terribly inconvenient and takes so much longer than driving that those who have an alternative are discouraged from using public transport at all. And I give a big hear to that, because I found the same. It's when you are a driver and you own a car, it's very, very, very difficult to be persuaded to use public transport, because it's just so much easier and cheaper to take the car.
One of the things that happens in North Wales is just stunning. When you come from somewhere where I came from in Sussex, is that there's a bus route which is subsidised by the Welsh Government across the north coast of Wales, right along the coast road, and there's a double-decker bus every 10 minutes, literally.
Wow.
Every 10 minutes. And they've got to do it. It's a company called Arriva, and they're locked into this deal with the Welsh Government to make, a bit like the free prescriptions we get in Wales from the government deal. And yeah, sure enough, the buses are quite often far from full, but every 10 minutes, right along the coast, from Llandudno right across to Prestatyn, and it's just such a good service, which is a shame that it's not the same everywhere, really. Adrian Brain jumped in as well.
Well, now there's lovely.
Yes, Yaki da Bori da, Blodwin. Adrian Brain jumped in also to say that in Luxembourg, all public transport was free in 2023-24, and the economy had boomed. And that was a story that I picked up on as well, that, that they just basically said that in order to fuel our economy, we will pay for the transport, a bit like, you know, the halfway Wales has gone.
Yes,
to do
yes.
That get people moving, get people out there, get them to where they're going, and the economy will boom, because they're getting free or limited price trips to where they need to go, including work and shops and so forth.
Yes, and a similar successful situation from Pip Tomlinson in Spain. The Catalan government here has paid for rail travel throughout Catalonia, she says. So, from Barcelona to the towns outside it for the last 3 years. You pay a £10 deposit and get a plastic ticket. This has meant that since the pandemic, people have been able to move to the towns and villages outside of Barcelona and commute in for essentially nothing. It's good because rents are cheaper outside the city, so it enables people to live in quieter and bigger houses but still commute to the city to work. They have also reduced all metro tickets within Barcelona by 50% if you have a residency permit. Whenever I travel back to the UK, I wince at the cost of getting a train. Yeah, I think I read recently we have the most expensive train travel in Europe. Doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. You can shop around, though. Incidentally, just to make it clear, Pip is a chap, not a lady.
I do beg your pardon, Pip. My apologies.
Philip, I think. But Pippa is obviously a girl's name. Obviously that can be used for either gender.
Jumped to the wrong conclusion. I'm very, very sorry.
What were you just saying? I can't remember. Prices of trains in the UK. You're right, but there are ways of jumping online and there's so
I
many.
I thought you were going to say there are ways of jumping on the train and not paying.
Well, that's another point, actually, because I've recently got my dad to start using the train, and he jumps on the train and goes down to Llandudno now and again. And he said to me that no one from start to finish on the platforms, on the trains at the other end, no one ever asks him to show his ticket or show his phone with a ticket on or anything. And he said that you really don't need to pay for a ticket if you're going to be a con person. Now, that might not be true everywhere. That might also be a Wales thing. I don't know. But, you know, but what I was going to say.
Sorry, can I just put in there before you do? I'm not condoning this for one moment, and I do not believe in fare dodging, and I think that's one of the reasons a lot of things are so expensive, because people try to dodge them. So I do not approve of this at all. But I do remember I had a friend some years ago who had a commute on a train, and he said he never paid. He said, the same as you, that nobody ever checked. And he said, if every couple of months I'm stopped by an official and I have to pay a fine, that's still cheaper than the ticket would have been if I'd paid every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So he just didn't pay at all.
Mad.
Yeah. Sorry,
absolutely mad. Well, I've forgotten what I was saying now.
I don't know what you were going to say, Ted. I'm sorry.
If you fish around online, I think I was going to say, you can find cheaper prices.
Yes.
But I remember one day my sister and I, who are quite tech savvy, we were fishing around online for like an hour and a half, and it was really hard. But I think I might have mentioned it on the show, and it was just like really difficult to get where you needed to go. But
yes,
if you persevere, you can get cheaper prices. But obviously nothing like Luxembourg.
Yes, and of course there's the famous story that I told of taking my mother on the Eurostar, and all very legitimately and above board, because my mother has a blue badge and as a disabled person and was in a wheelchair, we had the most ridiculously cheap seats on the Eurostar. Yeah.
So shop around, but don't fare dodge. Do you know, the more I think about this, I think the more I think I might have done this before. But I'm going to, I don't care. It's so good, I'm going to do it again. Co-op. Now, I love raspberries. It's my favourite fruit. In fact, I'm probably guilty of it being the only fruit I ever eat. But at the mainstream supermarkets, they just taste of nothing. They really do absolutely taste of nothing. They taste nothing like the raspberries you would pick off the bushes. So, another shout-out for Co-op here. Gold star for them, because they sell these ones called hand-picked raspberries. Now, I don't know if they're hand-picked locally or whatever it is. I don't know where they get them from, but they certainly haven't been on a container ship for 3 months from New Zealand, which is where I think half the problem with the bland-tasting Tesco ones are. And they taste like they've come from a local farm shop. I used to have a local farm shop in Chichester. There's not one around here. But the local co-op here, the raspberries, hand-picked raspberries, they're called, and they do actually really taste like someone has picked them, maybe not that morning, but certainly that week.
I think they were hand-picked from the shelves of Waitrose, probably.
Do they taste nice in Waitrose?
I don't know. I'm just being stupid. Okay.
But I recommend it. And they are, to be fair, they are a little bit more expensive. Unless there's a blue ticket on them, then they're not in Co-op than in Tesco. But they're worth it because they actually taste like raspberry. Do you remember when you were a kid? Well, maybe you didn't do this. When I was a kid, we used to go out rummaging and foraging around the bushes and picking blackberries and picking raspberries. You know, for goodness sake, they grow wild half the time and they actually taste like raspberries.
I'm going to make you very jealous now. We have had, I say this because I'm not quite sure how the bushes, and I haven't seen much of it these days, but we certainly had raspberries in our back garden. We had a bush and we used to go down with a bowl from the kitchen and it was a small bush, but we'd sort of, you know, we'd get ourselves, you know, 10, 20, 30 raspberries from the bush in the garden, which was, and you're right, they were absolute, they were nectar of the gods. They really were. Oh,
beautiful. And when you get some that taste like raspberries, then you have some Haagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream with them. And,
I like the way you say they taste like raspberries. If they tasted like kiwi, you'd have something else, would you?
they don't taste bland.
Yes,
like
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Non-raspberries. Should we call them non-raspberries?
Yes.
Tesco sell non-raspberries.
Yes.
Anyway, a load of claptrap.
Well, you know what a non-raspberry sounds like, don't you? Okay, I think that's about it. Aidan needs to go and put himself back in his box, doesn't he?
Enough of your filth. Right, OK, we shall be back in a fortnight's time with another show, hopefully. So let us know whatever works in your lives and tell us in the MeWe group. If you're not already a part of the MeWe group, then jolly well join and tell us whatever works in your life. And we'll bring highlights of that to shows going forward. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. Links there to all the other audio podcasts that we're involved in and also all the MeWe groups that we run. So do come and join us and follow the links in the show notes to that. Particularly tell us whatever works for you. So last word to you.
A little less adrenaline, Aidan, next time, please. I think I certainly have recovered from my cold. And yes, I'll try to be not quite as bubbly next year. Thanks very much, everyone. Have a lovely fortnight and see you soon.
People like you, bubbly. That's your appeal.
Okay. And I shall bubble forth then.
Excellent. One last thing to say then, as always. Don't forget,
whatever works.